Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 321 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week we get a little recording on location as I'm joined by Greg Green and Wes Driver of Blackbird Theater of Nashville as we talk a little Amadeus. So we'll get into that conversation just after these brief messages.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play,
don't
in, the
all
gutter,
play
of
in the gutter, of course. Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
Alright, so here I am with Wes and Greg, Blackbird Theater of Nashville. We're going to talk a little Amadeus. Welcome, guys. Thanks for staying late after a rehearsal to chat with us here.
Yes, that's right. John is actually in Amadeus, playing the
Salieri's valet.
Are we going to valet or valet? The British call it valet.
Yes.
A valet.
Yes, Mr. Director.
Yeah,
come on.
Don't throw that monkey wrench into it. It's valet.
It's the valet. I agree. Yeah. I agree with you on that.
No man can be dressed without his valet.
And it's not a British show, you know.
Yeah, their counterpoint.
Yes, it was written by a Brit, but
yes.
It was funny because when we were first talking about the show, so one of the actors asked me, "So are we doing British accents?"
Oh no, really?
I should,
because it's set in Vienna.
Yes.
So you'd have more of a German type accent.
Well, it's always like, you know, the World War II movies.
Right.
The Nazis always had British accents.
Yes, naturally.
Well, it's how they blended in.
That's right.
Or they're
the subversive
behind enemy lines.
All brought to you through the guise of 17th, 18th century dress.
Right.
So I want to talk to you guys a little bit about kind of why you chose this, and then your kind of approach was to dealing with this sort of beast of a story
to tell. Yeah.
And then how it developed into this whole Music City Mozart thing. Mm-hmm. So,
Well, let me say that for folks who haven't seen the play, but you've seen the film, it's of course written, and this is Greg here, it's written by Peter Schaffer. He also adapted his script. It was originally produced, I believe, in 1979 in London, and he turned his play into the screenplay for the film, and a lot of folks have seen the film. And it's of course, it's the same basic story, but there are some pretty significant differences. So the play it's interesting to see the two alongside and pick up on the differences in his approach to it. But Wes, why did we choose Amadeus?
Well, it's if you want to hear the real story behind why we chose it, it's actually kind of interesting. I had Peter Schaffer, who wrote it, is one of those playwrights that for some reason his work has always resonated with me. One, it's all so extremely theatrical. He understands the medium. He takes advantage of it. And so he puts on stage these really kind of spectacles, these strange, dark, harrowing spectacles that are unlike anything else outside of like Greek tragedy. I mean, a lot of what he was influenced by are those the Greek tragedians. But so I wanted to do a Schaffer play. And I really, two favorite plays is Equus.
Mm-hmm.
And so we originally considered, well, could we do Equus? Love to do Equus. And
we do our shows at Lipscomb University, yeah. Well-known Christian university in Nashville. And yeah.
Equus, here comes the disclaimer.
Yeah. Equus as a great play, but there is some frontal nudity.
Yeah, well,
in the
content is fine. It's the problem is there's a nude scene, which I've seen the show done without nudity, but when I inquired about getting the rights to Equus. I was told that I would have to sign a contract saying we would absolutely have full male nudity in the play. I contacted Schaffer's agent. I said, now, I've seen production. Is this really legitimate? And they wrote me back very kindly and said, yes, Mr. Schaffer is very adamant that if you're going to do the show, you got to do it the full Monty. And so it was an opportunity that we could not pursue. And I was thinking, well, there's this other great Peter Schaffer play, and the only reason I had not originally considered that is I had recently seen it at the St. Louis Rep, and it was sort of fresh on my mind, and I was wanting something a little bit, different. But then I started thinking about it, going, it's fresh for Nashville.
Right.
It hadn't been done in Nashville since 97 when Circle Players did it, and in fact, when it was done in 97, that was a different script. Peter Schaffer's actually reworked the ending of the play since that time. And so the show we're doing has never been done in Nashville, in this incarnation. Yeah.
If you look at much earlier versions of the script, the ending is quite a bit different. And Salieri in particular is more of a menacing figure. And here in this latest rewrite, which was done, I think, in the year 2000.
Conan, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. In the year 2000, yeah. Peter Schaffer rewrote it, and you have a tragic figure in Salieri.
Yeah, and Schaffer's preface to the script, he outlines the six different versions of the final confrontation. And, of course, things were changed throughout the script, but six different versions, including the film version. And he believes he finally, with this one, he could put it to rest and say, I've accomplished what I wanted to accomplish with it. But it really changes it from more, the original is much more kind of thriller melodrama, and now it's evolved into really a kind of a humanist tragedy. There's a great bit more sympathy for the Salieri character.
Yes, and he's a wicked person and does some horrible things, but you see clearly why he's doing this, and that exposing his motives and his struggle, really, he's in the story, he's just wrestling with God. And his view of God is different than what you would see in kind of Western civilization these days. But it's a really fascinating view, and he's just struggling with this throughout his entire adult life. And you get a good look at that and kind of understand why he has done what he's done.
So you've got this kind of in the slate, but then you've noticed other people are kind of doing other Mozart-y things. So how does that...
That's true. Well, when we were coming down to our last few... kind of the end of the decision-making process for what show we would do in this slot, we were considering strongly Amadeus, and we were looking around at some of the other productions that would be done in the late winter, early springtime frame. And Wes noticed that the Nashville Opera is doing Mozart's Magic Flute about 2 weeks after we would be closing Amadeus. It also turns out that the Nashville Symphony is doing a program a week after the Magic Flute that's called Mozart's Piano Masterpiece that features His piano concerto number 9 in E flat major, I believe it is.
So that was his only masterpiece.
It's the only featured masterpiece. Yes. Right. So anyway, so there was a series of Mozart related productions, artistic performing arts pieces going on in March and April, and so we reached out to the opera and the symphony, and they said, "Yeah, let's cross promote them and create an event series called Mozart in Music City." And we've got a website set up, mozartandmusiccity.com, that'll go to the nowplayingnashville.com website where it lists the 5 events that are part of the series. So we're thrilled to be able to put our name alongside, obviously, the Nashville Opera and the Nashville Symphony, which are, just fixtures in the Nashville arts and high culture scene. So, but they're very excited to be, to have an opportunity for people in the Middle Tennessee area to come and see especially maybe an art form that you normally wouldn't see. And there's folks who will go to the theater but who maybe haven't gone to the opera in a long time, or maybe never, or who haven't gone to the symphony. And it's a good opportunity to check out varying types of art, but that are still about the story and the work of this genius of classical music.
Cool. So for our audience out there, when does our production of Amadeus open?
March 8th. Amadeus will play March 8th through March 23, over 3 weekends. And then the Nashville Opera does Magic Flute over the April 11 to 13 weekend. And the Nashville Symphony does their program, Mozart's Piano Masterpiece, April 18, 19, and 20. So, they run really from the beginning of March toward the end of April. And there's a couple of other events in there as well. There's a free music event for seniors held at Lipscomb, being performed by the Nashville Opera, the Lipscomb Music Department, and a couple of scenes from Amadeus. And then there'll be an extended version of just the music components of that from the Lipscomb Music Department. They'll be going on as well. Again, all this information's at mozartinmusiccity.com.
Now, if someone just wanted to take their high culture from the theater venue, how would they get tickets to Amadeus? Is it through the same website or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go there or blackbirdnashville.com. There's a buy tickets link up there. Either one of those websites, you'll find the tickets there. And I do want to mention that we're trying to be cognizant of the fact that in Green Hills, there's a lot of folks who are retired and a lot of folks who are living in assisted living facilities and who don't want to get out and drive around at night. And we do have a special senior ticket price on March the 17th, which is a Sunday. It's a Sunday matinee, and tickets for seniors are only $10. So it's a good deal for seniors. So just keep that in mind.
You try the veal, right?
Yeah. Bring your own veal.
Try it. It'd be good.
Yeah.
All right. So again, I'll put a link to those links on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Well, thanks, guys.
Well, John, let me ask him, what do you think of the play Amadeus? You're in this play. what's one thing that just really stands out as being interesting about the play?
Well, I like how it blends worlds and realities and time, and how it's sort of real but not, and how it flashes in and out, and it's kind of interesting to see that overlap.
Yeah, and one distinction from the film is that the play is very strongly narrated by Salieri. He speaks directly to the audience. He invokes them as sort of the ghosts of the future and will give them his confession, essentially. So it is a very poetic play, and I think it's just
scare people off.
Sorry.
They don't speak in verse or
they don't speak in verse.
It's not Elizabethan.
No, it's a lyrical. Can I say that?
Yeah, lyrical.
Yeah, is that better?
It's good. He's expressive.
He's very expressive.
Less intimidating.
Yes, right.
Yeah. It's like the action thriller of the English.
The car chase in Act 2 was outstanding.
Yes, yeah. So anyway, it's a great piece, and Salieri's just one of the great characters from 20th century theater.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, end on a high note. And on that bombshell. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, John.
Take care.
Hey, actors. Want to set up a website that is not a Facebook account? Yeah! Use your name as your domain name. check out DreamHost. It's easy to set up, and because you are a listener of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, you get a special treat. That's right. Go to www.dreamhost.com and enter this special code, IDS, all caps. You will receive two domain names with your web hosting package purchased from DreamHost. But only if you use the promo code IDS. And remember to use all caps on that. Just another way you get buzzed by the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
So I'd like to thank Wes Driver and Greg Green of Blackbird Theater of Nashville for hanging out after rehearsals to chat with me about Amadeus and all things Blackbird. If you want to be part of the Dumb Show, please do so by calling 615-866-1282. Or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or follow the show on Twitter, @inexplicableds. It's the Twitter handle. See the comings and goings on here at the Dumb Show via our Twitter feed. And hey, next week, who knows what I'm talking about? Maybe a little SATC, maybe a little a scene partner app, hopefully. Or I do have a pretty big, exciting announcement about something I'm up to, so... Until next week, hey, I'll see you. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's MAGNATUNE. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.